It's a pleasure to introduce our next presenter, Chuck Kelly. And Chuck is a 41-year veteran of radio. His early careers were in Illinois and Colorado. And a lot of us remember him from Broadcast Electronics and ITC 3M when they merged. He's been with Nautel since 2006, and he's director of sales. He's an amateur radio operator. We won't hold that against you. And he's the he's been a two-term past president of SBE, and he also has the he's also a fellow with the SBE, and his topic is saving your station money and how to go with green broadcasting. What are you saying? You don't burn coal in your transmitters anymore? Chuck, take it away.
Thanks, Gary. I will. Don't worry. All right. Good afternoon, everybody. I hope everybody's enjoying the conference as much as it has happened in years past. It's a wonderful conference, and I'm so proud and delighted to be back here again and being with all of you here in Madison. So our topic is green broadcasting, saving the station money each and every day, and saving the environment as well. And the problem, of course, is rising energy costs. This graph shows the cost in cents per kilowatt hour on average in the United States and how it's changed. So in 2003, it was about 8 cents per kilowatt hour. And in today, it's estimated to be about 12 cents and going up. Now, I want to do a little survey here first. Does anybody here work for an electrical utility? No? Okay, then I can tell some stories. So, years ago, I worked at a station in Colorado, and the FM transmitter site was fed by a line that went up the mountain, and it was terribly unreliable, and the power company didn't want to do anything about it. So what I did is I went into the production studio, and I recorded a cart. Remember carts? I recorded a cart, and I put it on top of the automation with a sign that said, put this in after a power failure at the transmitter site. When you sign back on, put this in. And it said, the preceding seconds of silence were brought to you by La Plata Electric, your sometimes power company. Now, I used to say that La Plata Electric ought to have a phrase, you know, a marketing phrase for them. Like, La Plata Electric, we're not happy unless you're not happy. Or I heard another one that I think may also work. La Plata Electric, we've upped our standards, so up yours. Anyway, enough fal-de-ral, let's move on. But it sets the pace. What we're going to try to do is pay them less money. We're going to try to pay the electric utility less money. This is a worldwide phenomenon. It's not just the U.S. Look at the cost percent in cents per kilowatt hour some of these people are paying around the world. We're at 12, 13, 14 cents per kilowatt hour, but look at like Tonga and Denmark and Germany. Holy cow, they're paying a lot for this. So it's really important for us to look at ways to save on our electricity. So we can calculate what can be saved. We can talk about comparing various different transmitters and figure out what they have in terms of efficiency. So in this calculation here, as you can see, let's figure out how to run this thing. There it is. As you can see here, if you look at the different efficiency level of these transmitters, and we're running the 12 cents per kilowatt hour, you can see all the way down here the total transmitter cost of power, the transmitter savings, the AC costs, air conditioning costs can add up to, actually they can add up to 30%, so that's an undercalculation. And the total electrical cost, total electrical savings per year, total carbon footprint savings for people that are interested in that. So you can see these numbers, are because of the increase in costs of electricity, these numbers are pretty staggering. They really do mean some big savings. Okay, so let's talk about AM first. And there are three areas of improvements in AM, and they aren't specific to Nautel. I'm not here to tell you about Nautel transmitters. These are things that are available from most companies today. Solid state designs that are much more efficient than the older designs, digital modulation techniques, and MDCL, modulation dependent carrier level. So in the solid state design, there are technologies in transmitters today that are making massive improvements in the efficiency. The 50 kilowatt and higher, well, 100 kilowatt transmitter, for instance, that we have does 90% efficiency. That's AC to RF on the AM band. So it can make a massive difference if you're comparing it to an old plate modulated transmitter, a massive difference in the amount of power. And these designs can be very, very efficient. The digital exciter techniques, we can have very precise drive of the H-bridge. And with that very great precision, there are virtually no losses because we're turning on and off the FETs at the time when there's no voltage across them, so there's reduced capacitive losses. We also use transistors that are way overrated for the power. Why? Because, in fact, they'll handle 200 amperes, the output FETs that we're using in the 50 kilowatt transmitter and above. The output transmitters are 200 amp FETs. We're not putting anywhere close to 200 amps, but the reason is there's less on resistance when you turn those on, and that on resistance is another form of loss. MDCL is free money. MDCL, as we know in AM broadcasting, we're modulating a carrier, but there's no actual information carried in the carrier. It's just on. So we can actively duck the carrier level. We don't want to become double sideband suppressed carrier, but we want to keep just enough carrier there to allow the proper demodulation of an AM station with minimizing the expense of money just being burned up and gone out to nowhere in the carrier. So the challenge is it has two-thirds of the transmitter power. The challenge is to modify the waveform in such a way to reduce the power without reducing the received quality in receivers. This was originally developed in Europe 20 plus years ago. And the technology, there's a number of different algorithms to do this. They work different than the others. Each one is different, but they all have a similar benefit. And the benefit can be as much as a 30% savings in electrical running costs with no discernible difference in the coverage area of your station or the listenability. And this has been verified over and over and over again. So in digital AM, DAM, dynamic amplitude modulation, the carrier is decreased the most at moderate modulation levels. It's increased at higher modulation levels so the distortion does not occur, but the audio level is never adjusted. So that's the curve for DAM. There's full DAM, which is dynamic amplitude modulation. Again, the carrier decreased most at moderate modulation levels. Carriers also increased at lower modulation levels to minimize distortion, and audio is not adjusted. Then this is another form of DAM called DCC, or dynamic carrier control. The carrier is also increased at lower modulation levels to minimize distortion. These are all just different algorithms for achieving the same thing, adjusting dynamically the carrier level to minimize any distortion, but minimizing the amount of power that goes into the carrier. And then there's AMC, which is a carrier plus modulation, both decreased with increasing modulation, full carrier power on during quiet periods when noise is easily perceived because the carrier tends to quiet the noise in the channel, and there's very little impact on received loudness. And these are the waveforms for DAM. So you can see at the top, that's the compressor level, or the AM signal. The middle is the compressor level, and the bottom one is the DAM output. And the average power reduction with DAM is 40%. That's the savings that you're saving in DAM. These are the AMC 3 dB waveforms. The average power reduction is 23%. And in terms of perceived quality, there were laboratory tests on subjective listening quality degradation was judged not significant. The subjective testings with interference or co-channel did not indicate a significant change in quality. Comparisons with single power reductions were done. A 1 dB power increase was imperceptible with no noise or interference to 90% of the listeners. And this corresponded to a 3 dB AMC with noise tests and 7 dB AMC with interference. This test were done in the UK at Brookmans Park, the BBC, a 100 kilowatt site near London, and the assessments were done at 29 locations in the daytime and 10 locations at night, and no impairment was observed. So this technology works. It's included in our transmitters in the NX series at no charge. They're all built in. All those algorithms are all built in. You can try them and check them. You have to check with the FCC and tell them that you are doing digital AM and request a waiver for it, because otherwise it runs afoul of the rules that have to do with carrier shift. But the FCC has already said they're good with this, and it makes good sense. So you can have an improvement in the transmitter efficiency of 90% efficiency on the transmitter, and then further improve another 30% less overall energy usage with MDCL. And therefore, you can save, well, you can see here, $40,000 a year in a 50 kilowatt transmitter that's running 24/7. That's not small change. Not when it keeps happening every year, and electrical rates are going up every year. So the savings in future years are likely to be even more. Now let's talk about FM. In FM, again, all of the main players are having high-efficiency LDMOS amplifiers. They're having high-efficiency power supplies. We're using PAPR techniques, which is peak-to-average power reduction techniques in HD radio. And we have designs, if you're only running analog, you have designs designed for analog, everything is optimized for analog. And then in digital, we also have the spectrum efficiency optimizer, which I'll talk about. So the high efficiency LDMOS amps, we've been showing this exact module over in the booth. It's LDMOS, it's nothing special, it's the same devices as the other guys are using. So they're all high efficiency, they're higher gain. They also have another advantage in that because they are higher efficiency and higher gain, you have less combiners and splitters in the system, and that improves your efficiency as well. So that's just another place where the efficiency helps. And the higher power device means less splitter and combiner losses. The new switch mode power supplies, again being used by multiple manufacturers, are 95% efficient AC in to DC out, and they're very conservatively operated. So they are a major part of the reason why the efficiency of the transmitters have improved so much in the last few years. So you can see here a chart where if you're using, for instance, a 10 kilowatt transmitter at 12 cents per kilowatt hour, and you go from 50% efficiency to 72% efficiency. Yeah, 50% efficiency is a real number. People have solid state even transmitters running 50% efficient that were good transmitters even 10, 20 years ago. If you run them $365 a year, consumption in kilowatt hours, total transmitter savings, air conditioning costs, and again, that's underrated. I've found studies now that the air conditioning cost tends to increase about 30% of the total heat which is being dissipated. It costs, again, to exhaust it. And a total electrical cost, so therefore you can save about $7,500 a year just by going to a new transmitter in electrical costs. Cost of cooling, as I said, a rule of thumb, blowers typically add about 10% of the cost of the waste heat exhausted, and air conditioning is about, that should be 30% there, I'll have to change that. 30% of the cost of the waste heat exhausted. So if you can convert to a positive pressure building where you've got air being blown into the building, it's positive pressure through filters, and you can get the air outside without having a recirculating effect, you can get the building cool without air conditioning, you can save about 20% on those cooling costs. Other areas for improvement, these are obvious. Tower lights, switching to strobes or LEDs, room and site lighting, You can change the room and the site lighting to LED. You can make significant differences, particularly if those lights are on all the time. And you can turn on redundant equipment, if you so choose, only on demand. So we have a spreadsheet, and we're going to go to it now, that I would like to walk you through. And I think that you'll find that, and this spreadsheet is available to you. It's on the WBA site. So you'll be able to get that spreadsheet. And hopefully, I'm going to be able to walk you through how to use it. And it can be of help to you. I'm sorry, it's a little bit small. Can we zoom it up? Zoom it up just a little bit? No? Okay. I mean to hit the zoom button under view. There, zoom to the left there. Well, okay, we can do it that way and then just kind of go up and down. So we start with, at the very top, there we go. Is that as high as you can go? Is that as up as you can be? Is there any? It says line 4, but I don't remember if there's anything. Okay, that's it. So you plug in the site name on line 3. Line 4, I want you to get your electrical bill from the utility. We'll start with a fact right there, and we'll get your actual site electrical kilowatt per hour usage on a month. And you just fill in the number of kilowatt hours that they charged you, and then fill in the actual cost per kilowatt hour that you're paying on that bill. And then that should tally back to the bill cost. Now, there may be some fixed costs that they charge you in addition to that, but if you put those two in, that should come up with your total monthly electrical bill. If we'll go down just a little bit, then it will give you an idea. You plug in your transmitters. We know at that point your estimated efficiency of your transmitter, and that will come in there. Let me see how if we've got this. Can I go down just a little bit and take a peek at it for a second? Remember where the, okay. So go down to current transmitter analysis, plug in your existing transmitter and your TPO, and the yellows is what you can fill in. So the 10,000 watts you plug in, your expected efficiency, the hours per day of usage, and that works out with your 11,062 kilowatt hours per month, which then shows up at that top part, just a little bit up there, up a little higher. Yep, keep going up. So that shows up there at the 11,062. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to work backwards through your bill. Now let's go back down again. Let's keep going down and keep filling in the yellow stuff. Okay, we're going to look at other gear. We've got an STL. Read the little label on the back. Find out how much current it's taking. Figure out roughly the current consumption of that. Your audio processor, plug that in that yellow spot there. Go to the remote control, find out what that's taking, and any other things on the site. And then you figure out, okay, are those running 24 hours a day? You plug that in there, and that figures out how many kilowatt hours per month is in that ancillary stuff, and that automatically fills in the part above. Now let's just keep going down. Here we come up to tower lighting. So how many watts is the total tower consumption? What is the total, you add up all the bulbs on your tower, and you figure out the number of hours per day of usage, and that totals up to your kilowatt hours per month. Now what we can do is we can go in and make estimated changes in these things. Let's go down a little bit further. So the new transmitter calculated efficiency, say 90%. Well, you plug that in, and then you add for an improvement in NDCL if you're doing an AM system. If not, just leave it. If it's an FM system or something, leave it at zero. And then the reduced heat load comes out. That's the reduced heat load, and therefore we can calculate the amount of savings, which we'll get into, or we can do that. We can calculate the amount of savings for air conditioning. Here's the new tower lights, and this is giving us the estimated kilowatts per hour monthly usage. And if we go back up the top, it'll show you that you're saving $793 a month on this system. And then this is calculating out, and it's actually figuring out your air conditioning by subtracting all the rest of the things from the total that we figured out, your total kilowatt per hour. So it's because air conditioning can be a very difficult thing. We're going to take all the easy things to figure out and subtract them from the total bill, and that leaves you with the amount of air conditioning in the system. And as you reduce your transmitter heat generation, it automatically takes that down too. It'll automatically prorate that air conditioning number down to help you estimate the total cost. So this should be an easy exercise to do an audit of your various transmitter sites and allow you to understand how much money you can take out of the monthly operating costs in a station. Now, the next thing I want to discuss is the concept of ROI. Some of you may know ROI, some of you may use ROI, but ROI is the language. You know, we speak in ohms and volts and amperes and things like that. We don't speak in business speak. But if we want to get new purchases from our bosses, we need to speak the speak of the managers, and they talk in ROI. And let's go back to the PowerPoint presentation for a moment. Full screen and next page. I believe. Oh, I do that. Sorry. There we go. So the ROI is the main metric business folks use to evaluate investments. Now, you divide the invested amount, for instance, a new transmitter or new light bulbs for the tower, by the savings per year which are due to that investment. And that gives you a ROI which is measured in years. And I guarantee if you walk into a manager and say, I've done the calculations on this, this is what we need, here's the quotes and all this kind of stuff, here's how much we're going to save, and here's your calculated ROI, you have a much better chance of getting that investment to go through. Make sure that you include all the savings that are attributable to that investment, such as your time, maintenance time. If you're having problems besides the energy inefficiency, if you switch from a bulb to LEDs, for instance, you may have less trips up the tower. And you need to consider those costs as well. Talk about the costs of spare parts that you might save, the loss of income due to off-air time that you might save in a new transmitter which has higher efficiency. So this is a way to calculate ROI and to improve your chances of making the changes within the station by speaking those words in the form that the managers of the radio stations or television stations speak. That's basically my presentation. I've got lots of time for questions. I hope this was helpful to you to understand the advantages in AM technology, the advantages in FM technology, and how you can calculate the expected savings in your station. Are there questions that I can answer for you? Yes, Del. Microphone is on its way.
Yeah, I was just curious on the MDCL.
Yep.
I'm assuming it would affect the AGC a little bit in the radio. Does that affect the loudness one way or the other?
They say it doesn't. All of this testing that was done, a double-blind testing where listeners were asked, is this more audible, less audible, as they made changes. I even had a friend with a well-known consulting organization on the West Coast go out into the area in Greece. They were doing some testing on some high-powered AMs in Europe, and he went out with field strength meters and receivers and listened at the very edge of coverage where the noise level was difficult. And looked for differences and couldn't tell when they were switching it back and forth. They'd say A and B on the cell phone. He couldn't tell.
Now, with MDCL, can you also use positive modulation, or does it have to be symmetric?
Oh, yeah, absolutely, okay. Yeah. They understand that the effects, you may have more effects with one system or another. That's why there's five different algorithms that you can choose from and try yourself. But I've never had anybody who has turned off MDCL because they didn't like artifacts. So it's free money. Other questions? Yes.
I was just wondering, in the case of the commission's rules, mm-hmm. when that's applied, it would obviously skew field intensity readings or typical power readings by virtue of the antenna current. Have they made an exception, or how is that handled?
Basically, what they've talked about, from my understanding, and we actually brought this all up with the commission several years ago, and they agreed. Our engineering department contacted the FCC and had these communications. And basically, the only part of the rules that it really seriously affected, because you can You can run your measurements at full carrier, right? You can do all of that. The only thing that it really broke was carrier shift. And so they're just exempting you from carrier shift, because carrier shift from the commission's position was unintended shifting of the carrier level. But in this case, it's intended. It's intended, and it's a good thing for the organization. It's a good thing for the environment. And that's why they went ahead and issued a waiver. And all you've got to do is to inform them what system you're going to use, and they're good with it. Other questions I can answer? Yes. Back in the corner over there.
What is the lowest power level that MDCL will work effectively, and how does it affect HD transmissions on AM, if at all?
Good question. So there are, and most manufacturers sell an upgrade to their lower power transmitters. As I mentioned, our higher power transmitters at standard, but most transmitter manufacturers will sell them that we're the same, where you can do it with even with a 1 kilowatt transmitter. It works. HD is another kettle of fish. I haven't had a bunch of stations using it in HD that I am aware of, but I don't know of a reason why it wouldn't work. HD is on the sides of the signal, so it doesn't really care too much about the carrier. And so this is predominantly dealing with just the carrier. I will say that one of the very first stations that did this was up in Alaska, and he was running just a 6 kilowatt transmitter, but his sites got electricity from diesel fuel, and he had to have the diesel fuel trucked in. They didn't have AC mains, main lines, and so he had huge savings on just a 6 kilowatt transmitter by installing this. And if you want lower powered transmitters that have this function in them as standard, wait till NAB. Any other questions I can answer for you? Well, we're a bit early. I will tell you one thing. We brought a bunch of t-shirts with us, the Nautel t-shirts that have the Smith chart on them that says, "Welcome to my world." There's some back on the table back there, and anybody who wants one, first come, first serve. Thank you very much for inviting me back to Madison. I'm very proud to be here. Thank you.